Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? iHeart Miko podcast, September 11th. Look at that. Look at that time. And I get to educate everyone on my opinions and a lot of the truth about 9/11 on 9/11. So shout out to me. Just kidding. Shout out to you guys for listening. Thank you so much. I took last week off. I'm sure a lot of you know why. Hurricane Irma was bitch, came through Florida, fucking my world up, fucking my family's world up, fucking the football world up. And so I had to take a week off to get my life together, get my family together, and get us the fuck out of Florida. So I spent a lot of time doing that. There's been a lot going on in these last 2 weeks since I've been on the air, and I'm not sure of exactly how much I'm going to be able to get off today, but it will be fun. It will be very entertaining. What else is going on? Ball of Wives, season finale was tonight. Hard Knocks, season finale was last week. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about football. It was week one, like the first week of football took place. A lot of shit going on, and I can't even lie to you guys. I did not watch very much football this weekend. This was our bye week. They made this our fucking bye week because they obviously canceled the game. And so normally the bye week starts like on a Sunday and you have like an entire 7 weeks, but our bye week started on a Thursday. So we only had literally 3.5 days of a bye week. So I actually spent all that time doing absolutely fucking nothing with my family and enjoying ourselves in Los Angeles, which is where I am right now. Shout out to Mike and Moose Cat Studios. I'm always here when I'm in LA. I appreciate you guys always holding me down and letting me come here and record and everything. But there's a lot. There's a fucking lot to talk about. I don't want to waste no time. I have a guest that's going to join me today, AJ Francis. For those of you that don't know, that's like family to me. And he's going to join me today, talk some football, talk some pop culture. And he's also going to let you guys know about his album that just came out Friday, I believe. It's called OTAs. I'm going to have him on with me. I mean, AJ is just a fucking character. He's a huge wrestling fan. He's an NFL player and a fucking rapper. Like, who the fuck is all three of those things? Only AJ. So I'm going to get AJ on to discuss everything, go through everything, so it's not just me running off all my opinions on y'all. And plus, I think AJ watched a lot of football this weekend. I know he did, so hopefully he can help me on some of these games that I missed because I'm only going to be able to talk about the ones that I watch. So let me get AJ on, and we're going to get this thing going.
Hello.
No, you didn't give me that. Grandma, hello.
Hello.
Hello. What up, AJ?
Chilling. What you up to?
Chilling, man. In LA still, you know. You already know. It's lit.
How long, when y'all get back?
Brent actually left tonight. The team has to be back tomorrow. They have practice tomorrow. Real nigga shit. It.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Real nigga shit. People, for some reason, they think like, oh, hurricane will stop. No. The hurricane's passed now. Get your ass on the plane. You know, there's no flights coming into Tampa, so the team is, everyone's flying to Houston. And everyone that's not in Tampa needs to fly to Houston, and the team plane is picking everyone up there and bringing them to Tampa, and then they have practice tomorrow.
What kind of shit?
Yes. That's what's going on. But see, Aiden's school isn't open yet, so there's no reason for us to go back. You know, so we're going to continue this bye week.
Yeah, I'm gonna just let Tampa rock then.
Yeah.
If I was you.
We're going to let them figure out everything, get the electricity back on, figure out these floods and these power outages and all this stuff. And once everything is really legit back, then we'll be back in Tampa. So me, Aiden, and Granny are going to hang out here for a few more days. I know Irma fucked you up, too. You're in Orlando. What's your situation?
I'm currently sitting in the dark talking to you.
I appreciate it, my nigga. I know you ain't got no power. I'm using your battery right now. You on your phone talking to me on my podcast. This is how I know you love me.
Yeah.
This is how I know.
Never get it fucked up. Nah. Yeah, well, you know, I was we went over to Todd's aunt house and we charged up all our shit. You know what I'm saying? So now, thankfully, I got power in my iPad, power in my phone, all that shit. But I'm definitely gonna have to do that again tomorrow if the power's not back on. So,
right, man. Well, I think we just got power back at our house in Fort Lauderdale. I got all these messages from ADT saying I got broken windows and all this stuff. So I'm not even sure if it was trees that hit it or the savages. Because did you see in Florida these people were looting and all types of shit during the riots?
Yeah. If I had to put money down, I'd say a nigga ran up in your seat
for the second time.
Yeah, niggas always see a lick and they try to hit it.
Right, but you know what's so great about it is, like, those are things, you know what I'm saying? They could take whatever the fuck they want. They're all replaceable, you know? Our lives aren't replaceable, so we got the fuck out of there. We're in L.A. in our other home, because we lit. But we have
every day.
Every day we lit, my nigga, every fucking day. But, Irma, it wasn't as bad as it was expected because it was supposed to be like the biggest hurricane ever. And I'm saying it wasn't bad because it wouldn't affect us as much. I'm sure there are other people that affected way harder, but yeah, overall, it wasn't as bad for everyone as it was expected to be. So that's a blessing.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. So we was just chilling in the house and we heard the winds and it was so annoying because, you know what I'm saying? I had a backup plan. If shit got real, I was going to drive to my homie house in Atlanta. And I was just going to stay there for a couple of days till the storm passed. And then I was going to drive back. You know what I'm saying? It's only 6 hours from Orlando. It's not a big drive. And then the day that the hurricane's going to come, they're like, oh, you good. It's going to Tampa, bro. You know what I'm saying?
You right there by Tampa.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, it's going to Tampa, bro. It's like 80 miles. You're going to be good. It's just going to be a lot of wind and rain. We're like, cool. You know, we just going to sit it out. You know what I'm saying? We just go chill. Of course, about 6 hours before it was supposed to hit Tampa, that shit changed course.
Right
quick. And went directly over my crib and shit. But, you know, thankfully, even though signs and trees and shit is fucked up in my neighborhood, my house is looking good. Ain't nothing wrong with my house for real. So
I'm
lucky.
You got lucky. You got lucky as shit. That's dope. That's dope. So today's 9/11, and I know a lot of people are doing the whole never forget and remembering all the people that passed. And that's a great thing because there are people, a lot of people that die for no reason. But it's hard for me to see this day the way everybody else does, saying that it was a terrorist attack. And I don't know how you feel about this. I don't think we've ever had a conversation about it. But what is your opinion on 9/11? Do you feel that this was a terrorist attack?
The reason why I do is strictly because no one in the government ever does a good job at keeping something a secret.
But that's why it's out that it's not a terrorist attack. It can't be kept a secret.
But the thing is, you know, it's just like What the Health. If you make a documentary, you know, with a specific poignant point, you know, you can find anything to, you know, exacerbate that point.
Are you trying to say this is like stats in sports?
Yeah.
You're saying
it is. You know, if you're coming in with the argument of, I think Sam Bradford is dope, and then Sam Bradford goes out and has the best week one of any quarterback in the league,
right?
You can say, look, I told y'all Sam Bradford is dope, and then somebody else would be like, yeah, but it's one game.
But what if they show you? What if they say to you, yeah, but There's the Pentagon was hit by a plane, the most important building in the United States of America, and they refused to show the footage of the plane hitting the Pentagon. What does that mean, AJ?
I ain't saying that there ain't shady shit. There's shady shit everywhere. For example, I think it's shady as fuck that today, when hurricane hit last night, and all day today in Orlando was beautiful, bright, sunny day, nothing wrong. Literally from 6 a.m. on, the rest of the day, it was just a beautiful, bright, sunny day. But the state of emergency and the curfew back till 6:30. Well, what the fuck was y'all doing all day? Like, why couldn't I be, like, my street ain't had no flooding. My whole neighborhood area ain't have no flooding. Ain't no trees knocked down nowhere. Easy breezy, beautiful over on this side. So why I had to stay at my crib till 6? That don't make sense.
I think
something shady going on there.
I feel like, you know, they're doing that to keep the scoundrels from robbing the people that are out of town. They're trying to, after dark is when all the fuckery takes place. You know that. So they're trying to keep everybody in the house after dark when all the creeping and the robbing and stealing goes on. That might
No, 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 the curfew was until 6 p.m. and then it was lifted.
Oh, so from 6 till 6 p.m. you can go out and around at 6 p.m.?
Yeah, at 6 p.m. open for business, nigga. But before then, that shit closed.
Oh, so that's like, a little weird.
That's why I said that. That's why I said that's some shady shit now.
That is a little weird. I don't know what the hell that is. But in my opinion, and it is a very factful and truthful opinion, AJ, 9/11 was not a terrorist attack. There's no way possible to me. There's no way motherfuckers with a box cutter or something going to hijack three planes in the United States of America. Seriously? And then they have no footage of the one hitting the Pentagon. Seriously? And
here's the thing though. You say that, but in America, you can be bullied on the internet when all you got to do is log off. So I'm not saying that it's not a possibility that it might be true. I'm just saying that there's a lot of shit that, like, you think, oh, two dudes with box cutters not going to take over this whole plane. They wouldn't take over no whole plane I'm on.
Right.
They wouldn't take over the whole play you are.
Damn sure not.
You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of people that are shook in that situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what?
Probably I'd be willing to bet around 90% of humans, yeah. You know, there's not a lot of real ones walking around Earth.
Definitely not. Definitely not a lot of real ones, but I try to just keep my opinions to myself for the most part about 9/11, because there's a lot of people that did die and it was senseless and it was really for money and it had nothing to do with a terrorist attack. But if you talk about that, then people somehow think that you don't have compassion or feelings for the people that passed. You know, I just have more anger surrounded around this date, and it just reminds me of just how crazy this country is, how anything can happen, and people will just believe whatever's in the media, whatever said. Like, you cannot tell me a plane hit the Pentagon when I'm looking at a hole in the building that looks nothing like a plane. All the parts disintegrated. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and the plane disappeared. So that's the key part.
Yeah, so that's why I'm just like, no, that's not true. And we're never going to tell these people how their families really lost their lives. And that's really what's sad about 9/11, because that's closure for me. You know, letting people know the truth about what happened to them. And it's this fucked up ass country with this fucked up ass president that is continued. Did you see his 9/11 tribute? It was all about him. Everything. Well, did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You ever hear the old interview he did on the radio? Where he's like talking about how sad it is what happened with 9/11. And then he's like, but you know, like while talking about how the World Trade Centers fell down, he was talking about how now he has the tallest building in New York, he thinks.
What a fucking dickhead.
Yes, he's like.
He doesn't even know he's a dickhead. That's the crazy. You know, that's what I think. A lot of rich people don't even know they're fucking dickheads.
They don't.
Fucking dickhead. And you don't know it because you have nothing but yes men around you that only say whatever it is you think, and everything you say is cool.
I mean, that's literally his whole cabinet. I mean, that's how they all have operated.
It's pretty fucking sad. It's really sad. It's annoying. But I want to, you know, send my condolences to everybody that lost somebody in the 9/11 attack on America by America. That's what I call it. A scam. The billionaires in this country are the biggest scammers of all. So that's why I always say free all my niggas that's in jail, because they doing crime and going to jail, but these other motherfuckers are doing crime and not going to jail. So free all my niggas. All of them. Yep. All of them.
Yeah. Free my niggas. I stamped that. Free them all.
You stamped that. Thank you.
Free them all.
Free them all, my nigga. Sloane Stephens, I need to cut right to this sports shit. Sloane, uh-huh. Did you see her?
Yes.
You saw that?
Yes.
Man, how'd she go from a stress fracture in a boot to a superhero?
Tore it all, probably. If I had to guess.
It's probably that motherfucker Tordo. That nigga get you to do anything, right?
Yeah, for sure. I popped the whole finger out. They popped one Tordo, and I didn't even know I had fingers no more.
Yeah, I almost spit my water out, my nigga. Oh my God.
That shit real. That torn on shit for real. I'm talking about like when I was in college, I used to take, I think it was Tordal. It was like something. If it wasn't Tordal, it was basically the same thing as Tordal. And I partially dislocated my shoulder my junior year. And like all week, after that happened, all week in practice, that shit, I couldn't even lift my arm up. Like I couldn't do nothing. Them niggas gave me that shot on game day. And it was go time.
He was over there lit.
Yeah. So I'm assuming there was some type of pharmaceutical that allowed her to do such a thing. But Black Girl Magic at the same time, we have to acknowledge.
We have to acknowledge the fact that we are legit taking over right now. Like Serena goes down, and not even goes down. She just goes down with pregnancy. And here comes Sloane, which I've been watching her for a few years, and I've always thought she was great. I just always said to myself, damn, we're probably never going to see how great she is until Serena retires or something. And Serena low-key retired, which is just having a baby, because I promise you she coming back.
Oh, and yeah, for sure.
Sloane comes in and gets this championship. And then did you see her post-game interview with a commentator at the...
Gave her the check?
No, the media person asked her, like, is it motivating, you know, winning like this? And she was like, did you see the check?
The check.
Did you see the check? And people, for some reason...
Before winning that $3.7 million, her year earnings this year were like $310,000, which is great. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome. That's a great amount of money.
You know what I'm saying? To be playing tennis for sure. And not Serena? Yeah, that's dope.
That's
but did you get 10 times that much in one day?
Monica, you are
that's
lit.
That's a come up.
Some people, for some reason, seem to forget that athletes play for money. That's what we play for the check.
Yeah,
we love sports. Everyone loves sports that played sports. Even if you don't play sports, you might love it. But this is a job.
Damn.
A job like a motherfucker.
And niggas don't realize that you get in a situation like mine where you make all the plays and you better than a lot of niggas that's getting checks in the league on many, many teams.
I don't even want you to address this because I don't want to, you know, I just, whatever you want to say about you being released for no reason.
Yeah,
outside of the business of the NFL.
Yeah.
Again.
It's the league. That's why I don't like, I was talking with Tati today and I literally was just saying, look, like, she was like, are you upset? Is everything like, I'm sorry. Like, is everything okay? And I'm like, for real? Like, I'm not upset by any means because like I and anyone who watches the film knows, like, we know it's bullshit.
Right.
If you watch the coaches tape and you see every play against starters all the way to third string dudes, against the starters for the Packers who went out and beat Seattle, against the starters for the Bengals who, you know, didn't really end up doing very much. But at the end of the day, the starters of that team, you see who's out there making plays, and then you see who's making plays against everybody else when he goes in, because that's what he does, is me. But that doesn't matter.
But
film don't matter.
You weren't drafted.
Film don't matter. That's one thing I've learned about the NFL is film don't matter. Film matters if you already got the golden goose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. If you drafted and you got halfway decent film, you good.
You lit.
But if you undrafted and you got great film, but they got another nigga that's getting a lot of money, you know what I'm saying?
Have a seat.
This film's okay.
Have a seat.
Well, sorry.
Have a seat. We're only going to take care of the guys that were drafted. Yeah, all 32. There is no special team in regards to that. Nobody's doing anything different. If I had to choose, I would say I've seen Pete Carroll make some decisions that I was like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's making all those decisions, but I have seen Seattle make some decisions with players that kind of shocked me. But other than that, everything you can pretty much predict how it's all going to go, because it's going to go based on whoever is the guy, whoever is drafted, whoever is with the team, with that GM. So if your GM gets fired that brought you in, let's say you were undrafted or say you were a free agent and a new GM came in and brought you with him. If he gets fired, when the next GM comes in, guess what? Your job is probably gone. The other GM's going to bring in his own other guys that he wants, his own other coaches. They're going to bring their own players. And that's why I know that this it's almost like the, it's not about winning. It's not about winning. It's about being right.
It's not.
It's about being right. It's not about
winning. It's not about, here's the thing. If you are an NFL, if you're a GM, right, in the NFL, and you have a team and you think, hey, maybe I can win with this team, right? So this is how you play it if you're a GM, if you have any brain cells at all. Okay, so you come in and you don't get rid of nobody from like the first year you're there. And then if y'all do well, you keep the motherfuckers you want, you get rid of the motherfuckers you don't want, and you bring in whoever you want. You got yourself some time. If you don't do well, well, you know, I don't really have my guys here, you know.
Right, so he's making an excuse.
Now I can get rid of these guys. I'm bringing my guys, right? Then the next year, let's say you do a little better. Then you say, see, you know, we're making progress. Give yourself some more time. You do worse, you go, well, it's their first year in the system, so you got to build that up. So then
all the lies.
Right?
All the lies.
You go to the year after that, and you can finagle your way all the way through that until finally somebody realizes, dog, you don't know what the fuck you doing. And and unfortunately, what ends up happening because of that,
you're ruining other people's careers.
Ruin other people's careers, ruin other people's lives, and in the process, like, you're still going to get a job after that because the football community is a buddy-buddy system.
Buddy-buddy. Yes.
And to be honest with you, like, I don't knock football for being like that because, let's keep it 100 with you. Like, if I, let's say I became the fucking defensive coordinator at the University of Maryland, or you, I'll say University of Miami. If Brittany had shit to do, he ain't got, like, I would call the nigga, but, hey, you want Coach DBs and I'll give you $500,000 a year? He'd be like, all right.
Bet.
You know what I'm saying? And I would do that. But, like, the reason why you can do that is because there should be extenuating circumstances. For example, any coach, college, high school, whatever, would obviously hire me as a defensive line coach because of, you know, who I am, what I've done in my life, obviously. But the problem is they take that ability to be able to hire anyone and they say, ah, hey, this is my old boss's son. I'm going to just give him a job.
Right. That's it. That's fucking crazy. This, but the NFL, to me, they could do so much better. There could be so much better competition if they just take the names off the jerseys and the universities they went to off the jerseys and just let niggas play. Half the stars of this league wouldn't even be stars in this league. Like, half.
Like, you got guys who, like, don't get me wrong, J.J. Watt is a hell of a football player.
Right.
Hell of a football player. One of the best football players of our generation. But the reason he puts up ungodly crazy numbers is because his system is designed for him to do whatever the fuck he wants, whenever the fuck he wants to do it.
Yes.
And to be honest, there's a bunch of guys in the NFL that have earned the right to be able to do that. J.J. Watt being one of them. But like, and this isn't just me, like, oh, I'm hating on J.J. Watt. No, it's called the Diamond Package. It's a package that they put in because I'm friends with many people that have played with him in Houston, where he'll literally, if they call the Diamond Package, there's four positions that you can rush from. And he picks whichever one he wants.
He roams.
And if you're playing, if you play in that position, he just tell you, hey, go over there. And you just go play something else, nigga. That's just
go over
that's
there.
How that works.
Hey, watch out. I want to go at this nigga. Scoot over. I want to go at this. Yeah. I mean, no shade. It's helping that nigga become legendary. But at the same time,
like,
you put him in a regular defense or something, and he doesn't stand out as much, probably.
Like, and the thing is, like, maybe he doesn't have 20 sacks in the regular defense. Maybe he has 12. 12
right.
Still great.
Still great.
Still great.
Still fucking awesome.
You still going to the Hall of Fame if you get 12 sacks.
But it's a lot of niggas that could get 12 and they get it in a regular defense where
correct.
They legit got to just pound on the same nigga. Get, you know what I'm saying, all game. They don't
correct.
Get to you know, roam around and do whatever it is that they want to do.
Imagine we was in Miami, we both saw him work. Imagine if they told Cam Wake, "Hey, bro, don't give a fuck about the run."
Who
do
cares?
Whatever you want,
get the
whatever
quarterback.
You want to do it.
He oh my God. Cam Wake is a fucking savage. Nobody knows it. Ain't that crazy that nobody knows that?
That is wild, actually. Imagine if they just told Brent, hey, bruh, you know, if they get to the double move, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Jump all the early moves.
Let the safety deal with the double move. Who cares if they throw a bomb on you? Don't let nobody catch nothing in these first 15, though.
And that nigga Brent is on it.
Right.
That, and he might get beat, but he gonna have 9 interceptions.
Exactly.
Four of them going to the crib.
To the crib. Half of them shits is definitely going to the crib with Brent. He can't wait to get the ball in his hands. So
he always used to say, see, I just wait to transition immediately. Once I get the ball, I'm on offense. Now these niggas got to deal with me.
They got to deal with me on offense, man. So I don't even know if you, I have to ask you this because my podcast listeners want to know. Did you watch Baller Wives? Did you watch the season finale?
Yes.
What was your, because I watched it too. Give me your opinion. No. What did you think?
You know what? One thing I will say is that I think that you are doing an amazing job of keeping your cool because I know the real.
You know me. This whole fucking show was a test, my nigga. Oh, my God. Aiden told me this whole show. He said, you want to do this? This is a test. I want to see if you pass. And he told me, he gave me a passing grade.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Some of the shit that I done seen, I'm expecting you to save one of these hoes eventually. Like, somebody got to catch something.
My nigga.
Like,
you have
too
no
many
idea.
Drinks is being thrown in people's face and little baby dick lollipops and all that shit. Nah, I'm not rocking with none of that.
Oh, my God.
I've been saying, if I found out that, you know, Tots come back home and she said, yeah, you know, somebody threw this at me. I ain't gonna fight the girl, but her nigga gotta fade me. Like, me and him gotta have some kind
problem.
Of coming to Jesus party because I'm not just about to be okay with you throwing drinks and shit all the time. Now, I'm not rocking with that. So,
yeah, but that's what bitches do when they don't want to fight. They throw a drink. Like me personally, just walk away if you don't want to fight. It's fine.
Correct.
Everybody can't fight. Everybody doesn't want to fight. And we really shouldn't be fighting. But throwing a drink at somebody, like, you a petty ass bitch. And then you going to run off. You going to run off after that because you know security going to get you. And then she threw that drink 30 minutes. They made me say 10 minutes on the show. It was a lie. I don't give a fuck if they try to get mad at me. It was a lie. The shit was thrown 30 minutes after the whole yo mama situation that she did not hear her say her mom was dead. She thought she said she did. The reason that drink was thrown was because Carmina's greasy ass was getting red by Stacy. Stacy was unfolding this bitch from her edges to her wig to her titties to her dress to her greasy ass pores that was oozing pork fat while we was filming. And when Stacy was flaming her, that's when the drink was thrown. That's when.
Yeah.
Stacy said, you know what, bitch? Get your ass in the pool. Jump in the pool and drink the pool water to clear your whole pores out. You look thirsty. And then she threw the drink. It didn't have nothing to do with no fucking mama or nothing. That bitch was mad because Stacy was reading her. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of that surprised me.
No, yeah.
You know what? You know what? People get mad when you flame their shit. You know, I done flamed a lot of niggas. I done had a lot of niggas want to fight me from
flaming their fit. Yeah. It's just joning. It's roasting. Mm-hmm. And if you can't handle it, then shut up. She was talking a lot of shit too. She was going back and forth trying to ask people to be classy, and she's still throwing her little digs. People don't know that there was 25 other people on that rooftop attacking me, Stacy, and Crystal. 25 people of Kiafa and Geneva and Carmina's friends were attacking us too. But you know, this is TV. We gotta let them make TV, and you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, fine, cool. But why do people act like they know the whole story? Like, come on.
Niggas don't.
You don't
but
know
this
the whole
is what
story.
I need from you, Meek.
Okay,
need,
what you need from me?
I need you, season 2.
Oh, I don't know if I'm coming back.
Please do, because
I
the
know.
Reason
they
why.
They owe me an apology. They owe me an apology.
The reason why
they set
why
me
you
up.
Need to come back is because you. I just want to see you put hands on one of these bitches. That's all I. Like, I don't.
Why do you want to see me be ratchet? Why?
It's not ratchet. It's not ratchet.
I will put my hands on somebody if I need to. Nobody actually did anything to me.
I know
that
that's
I felt would cause me to put my hands on them.
You're right. But I've seen these shows before. Mm-hmm. If you stick around long enough,
somebody
gonna do something.
Me. Yeah.
And well, there it is.
That's what my husband told me. He said the only way that I could physically defend myself is A, if someone threw anything at me, including a drink, and two, if anyone got close enough in my vicinity and I felt like I might be hit. So even if I just felt like somebody was gonna hit me, I could swing. But nobody got in my, you know what, I'm lying. Asia got in my face. They ain't show that either. Asia got in my face and Asia got mushed in her forehead. And yeah, they didn't show that either. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, so that happened. And then she got all scared. She got all
I was just about to say, so after you mushed her, what happened?
She got 12 on me. She got 12 on me, nigga. She said she feared her life. She fears her life. She told VH1 she fears her life. Around me,
because there's only two options. Well, really, for me, there's one option after you mush me in the head. But for most people, there's two options. There's one, you can, it's time you mush me, it's time to fade you. Or two, you mush me, I don't really want the wreck.
Mm-hmm.
So
I go tell.
So I'm a snitch. Those are the two options.
Yeah, she snitched. She snitched. She called. She called VH1 on me. Oh my god. Fear my life. I think Miko's dangerous and she's crazy. But this bitch is jumping in my face. Every time you turn up, Asia is talking about me on this show. I don't ever talk about her because I don't even know this bitch. I didn't even know her. She was trying to be my friend for years. And every time I would see her around town, because of course we all live together. We live right there on the same goddamn street. So I see the bitch, but she's always like, hey, Miko. Hi, Miko. How are you? Hey, you want to get lunch? Hey, you want to hang out? No, bitch. No, I don't. Because your man talks about me like what I look like getting our kids together for a play date when your man is flaming me every time he get on the radio. I actually took it as a compliment because I thought he was using it for ratings. I didn't really think he had no beef with me or he hated me. I thought he was doing it like every other media person that talks about me. For attention.
For clicks.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, cool. Let him eat. Let him cook. Like, whatever you want to do. But then I find out you use that shit to get on the show and cause a beef. I don't know. Beef with you or your man. Y'all started this shit. The only reason I had a beef with Asia is because she jumped in my face the very first time we filmed. And that's why it's been on ever since. It had nothing to do with nothing. I'm pissed off because I told my son to fake like this kid for TV. Which is, that's the one part that I do regret, is I was trying to force my son to do something that I was doing, you know, and then the bitch turned around and backfired on me because now this bitch gets to be on TV saying that our sons are friends. No, they not. They were never friends. Never. Ever. And then they had a fight before it was even time for us to do this little play date. So then I cut that shit off, like no play date. They had a fight at school and Aiden is like, I'm off it. I tried to fake be this nigga friend. He too out of control. The nigga has no manners. He's like a 3-year-old. So I don't want to make an Aiden fake nice with this bitch. Aiden didn't sign no contract. Aiden's not on Ball of Wives. So I should have never told him to fake like he liked this kid, you know? And so that's my fault. Yeah. That's my error in this entire thing is that I allowed my son to get involved in some TV shit that he had nothing to do with. So I already apologized to him and I apologized to my husband for that shit. But that will never happen again. Never. I will never let my son say things that he doesn't agree with and he doesn't feel for TV. Not for no motherfucking producers, not for shared media, not for VH1, none of these motherfuckers. Because my family is worth way more to me than a check from any of these niggas. Any of them.
Yeah.
So I learned a lesson.
Yo, and here's the thing that's like, Aiden, like I forgot this when I saw y'all last week, but I really wanted to fade Aiden. But when I saw him push you, I was like, Aiden, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's not like black. You don't. That's a black queen, young man. You don't do that.
Aiden's going through this phase, dog. He's going through this he-man, woman-hater phase. He got his heart broken by this little girl. So he thinks all women are the devil. He's just like, how can she do this to me, huh?
What she look like?
She's Indian, actually. Red dot.
That is not what I was.
Not feather.
I was definitely expecting a Bigo.
Yeah, I know. She's an Indian girl. She's really pretty. And, you know, he just has to learn that this is a young time. You can't be having no girlfriends this young. Like, you know, women are already hard to deal with as grown-ups. Could you imagine as kids? We change our minds so much as adults. So I'm just like, Aiden, you have plenty of girlfriends. But I loved her. I thought she loved me. I'm like, oh my God. You guys are like kids. Like, what the hell is going on? It was bad because she dated his best friend. She went and started dating his best friend. And his best friend was like, what's the big deal, Aiden? Yeah, his homie didn't even understand why Aiden was mad. He was just like, what? She like me now. She for everybody, like, homie.
Hey, we ain't beefing over these Caesars.
She for everybody, yes. So he got to get over this phase of thinking women are the devil, and I don't know when it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen when he find him a new girl. He needs him a new girlfriend, I guess.
Yeah.
Somebody to reassure him that women are still necessary. Because we still necessary, right? Are we necessary?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Or it wouldn't be no people.
Would not be none of you motherfuckers here. It wouldn't be anyone. So switch gears. I'm done with Ball of Wives. It's over with. I don't know if I'm coming back. They owe me an apology and some more shit. Because I just feel like there's certain things that you can do. I know that this is a show. They get to edit however they want. And I signed up for that, but the deception, there was a deceptive move that was made, and that's the part I can't roll with. Like, don't deceive me, my nigga. Like, you could edit me and to say and do whatever you want, but don't include my child and don't deceive me. And that's why I don't know if I'm coming back. That's what we got to figure out from me and VH1 and Shed Media. You have to figure that out before I don't even know if it's going to be a season two. Like, it really depends on the ratings. How that went, because if the shit didn't have ratings, it ain't gonna even be a season two, as far as I know. So I don't talk to them. I haven't talked to them. I have nothing to say to none of them motherfuckers because I haven't gotten my formal apology yet for what they did to me. So on to the next. We're gonna move on. I have to be honest. I didn't watch very much football. I did watch the Redskins game only because that's the game that, you know, we got here in LA. But
yeah.
So did you watch, because on my podcast, I can't talk about every game. I only have an hour. So I usually kind of break down the Thursday night games and the Sunday night games. So you watched last week's Thursday night game against the Patriots and the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Did you anticipate that smackdown from the Chiefs?
Hell no.
Right.
I mean, we all know, like, me personally, Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT, like, to me personally.
No question.
Just like, for example, to me personally, Jay-Z is also the GOAT, right?
I don't know. I can't judge rap. You know I can't do that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But if somebody told me they think Tom Brady was the GOAT, I couldn't argue that because he got a GOAT resume. So if that's who your GOAT is, I feel you. Just like when a nigga tell me Biggie's they GOAT. I'm like, I feel you. Like, I can't, you know, say he was my GOAT too before I switched on to Jay. So when I say all that, I say that to say this. I did not expect the Chiefs to come in week one and put the GOAT in his place. I did not see that coming.
Let me tell you the only reason I even slightly low-key anticipated it, and this is going to take me back to three years ago maybe, when I said that the Dolphins would beat the Patriots week one, and everybody told me I lost my motherfucking mind. I said, let me tell you something about football. The one thing that I have learned in covering this sport for over 11 years professionally and watching it my whole life damn near is week one is the week anybody could get it. Anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody can get it week one because there's no film. We know the NFL is based on the film you put out there. Niggas start game planning to get you out of your comfort zone and your shits. And week one is the one week that the Patriots are the most vulnerable, even with the GOAT slinging the ball around. Now, it didn't help that Edelman was injured too, because that's a big part of their offense, right?
Yeah,
but week one,
and people love to downplay how big Edelman has been.
Please, I never do it.
Yeah, because you're a real one, and you watch tape, and you understand, like, you use peep game, but you know how it is. He is a short little white dude, so people will be like, man, you know, he just lucky you with Brady, which is true, but at the same time, he's also dope.
Yeah, so I didn't anticipate. I'm not going to act like I did, but I kind of had my little eyebrow up, like, because the Chiefs, first of all, Aaron Alex Smith is very upset that people have been comparing him to Ryan Tannehill ever since the Dolphins went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is low-key offended by that. Like, what, nigga? Like, he is my... Like, Tannehill wishes... Tannehill's peak to me is Alex Smith. Like, that's his peak. That's, like, as high as he can go. And I... And
you know what's crazy to me? What? Is that Alex Smith will forever be compared with Aaron Rodgers because of how that draft went.
Oh, God, yeah.
But if you really just look at it, Alex Smith has had a hell of a football
career. Hell of a football career.
Nowhere in comparison to the GOAT, you know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But, like, he's had a hell of a career. And people sleep on him a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. And he's perfect in that Andy Reid system.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people sleep because of the whole check down thing. He doesn't take a lot of dangerous shots like the quarterbacks we love. You know, so I can understand why people downplay it. But if you actually watch the game or watch the tape, like, you got to respect him.
Yes. And on top of that, like, I think of this. There are probably 5 to 6 quarterbacks in this league who right now, if it's Super Bowl day and they say, we need to win and you got to throw 60 times, you could do it by yourself. There's probably 5 or 6 dudes that could do that. Mm-hmm. If you don't got one of those 5 or 6 dudes, this system, the type of system Andy Reid runs, when people talk shit about checkdowns, but that's the most efficient way to win football games. If you don't need Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, probably Derek Carr, he's got to that level so far, but we don't know if he'll ever actually reach, you know, that. You got Big Ben. And then after that,
everybody's kind of in the same. You got the Elis. You know what I'm saying?
You got Eli.
You got the Wilson.
Russell. You got Cam. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, realistically speaking, you look at that. Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rodgers. And then
we got to put Matt Ryan in there a little bit.
But to me, Matt Ryan's in the other group with, like, why does Matt Ryan deserve it more than Joe Flacco?
Because he got the MVP last year and he went to the Super Bowl. That's why.
But Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl and was the MVP and had the greatest playoff performance ever.
And we haven't heard from him in a while. That's why he's not in it now for me.
You're right. You
I ain't heard his name in a long time, dog.
You so correct. You are so correct. But at the same time, Matt Ryan, for like the biggest moment in his career, it's going to be like the Bills, like Jim Kelly.
Oh, God.
Like, you had a Super Bowl one, nigga. You had it. And
he definitely did. Yeah. Yeah. That kind of sucks. So what do you think is next for the Chiefs? Do you think that this is like they're on to something, or do you think like this was just a week one? Oh, shit. Like, because I've always respected the defense. You know, Houston is my nigga. Like, I fuck with him heavy. I've always respected their defense. They have great receivers. They've got a great tight end. Alex Smith is always in control. Do you think that this is a year for the Chiefs to get... They'll usually win the first playoff game and then they lose. Do you think this is the year they get over it, or this is just like a week one, gotcha, fuck you, Patriots, but they still going to be the same Chiefs that they've always been, get to win, maybe possibly win the division or get the wild card and lose in the first round?
I'll say this. First of all, I don't like to judge any team until at least
it is hard, right? It's hard.
Cause this, you know what I'm saying? I really don't like to judge any team until you got 11 games under your belt. Because after, you know, first 4 games, you're building your tape. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen in the first 4 weeks, right? And then after you get a 4-game breakdown of what you do in the season, on top of injuries, that's when you get to see who the teams really are. So from games 5 to 11, you get to see who's a contender, who's a pretender. And then you get to see who's the closer after that.
Yeah.
That's what I usually like to wait till that point.
But we can't do that. We on a podcast, my nigga. We got to talk about it now. We got to be wrong sometimes. You know, this is early predictions.
The problem is that it is week one, and they could have beat the Patriots by 50. But if you told me they play in the Patriots again in the playoffs, I know who I'm picking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they play Pittsburgh in the playoffs, I know who I'm picking.
I feel you. So you're going to reserve is what you're saying.
If I'm keeping it 100 with you, if you tell me they're playing the Raiders in the playoffs and Derek Carr is healthy, I'm picking the Raiders too. So it's like,
so basically, so, you don't believe. You believe this was catfish. Possibly.
I think this. I don't know if it's catfish, but I don't think that it's worth even like trying to think that they can topple the big dogs off of this week one game, because you know how that works. Happens in the NFL all the time. Look at us, 2013, when I was on the Dolphins, when we were on the Dolphins. Well, we beat the Patriots week 15 to go 8-6. All we got to do is win one game.
One game.
And we in the offs. One game. We got two games left. We got to win one. We in the offs.
We fuck around. What did we score? Two points?
Baton Rouge and the Bills.
And we got to get by Thad, and we got to get by Geno Smith. Those were the two niggas in our way. Thad Lewis and Geno Smith was in the way of us getting to the playoffs. And did we donut
it. The worst part of all is that, like, and any you ask any NFL coach, any NFL player, if you hold a team under 20 points in the NFL, you're supposed to win.
You're supposed to fucking win.
You're supposed to win. If a team scored 19, you're supposed to win. Period. That's how the NFL is. That's how they break it down in defensive meetings, right? Only problem is they scored 19 and we scored zero.
Nigga, I sat through that fucking game in the freezing rain. You know, that's the game I had done. Slammed the nigga in his bleachers and I got put out the game. I got put out that game, nigga, in the freezing rain. I said, I'll gladly leave. It's fucking cold anyway, and we getting our ass beat. What the fuck? They put me out the stadium.
It was cold as shit.
It was cold in a motherfucker that day. Oh, my God. It was fucking December. Freezing. We got a donut up on the Jumbotron, my nigga. And I'm in here trying to hold myself together, and these fans are attacking me about it. Nigga just ran up in my face. And I'm like, nigga, I'll never forget.
We were doing nothing on offense all day.
Nothing.
And then Tannehill like hurt his knee or like hyperextended his knee or something. And they brought Matt Moore in. And Matt Moore, first play, threw an 80-yard bomb to fucking Brian Hartline.
Sup, nigga?
Where the fuck is this bitch the whole day?
Exactly. I tell people all the time, we would have been so much better if Matt Moore had played. Like, so much better. Man. I don't give a fuck about them saying, oh, he doesn't learn a playbook. Oh, he didn't. Fuck out of here. That nigga can fucking play. He can play football.
The thing is, the reason why I love Matt Moore is because Matt Moore, A, he knows he's a backup quarterback, but he knows he's getting a check too. So he knows that he can go out and do really whatever the hell he wants to do.
He has no pressure.
He's not tripping.
He has no pressure on him. He just going to go out here, and whoever the fuck is open, he throwing it. He don't give a fuck about no play call, who you want to get all the passes. Matt Moore going to get in the huddle and say, whoever open, getting the ball.
Yeah, whichever one of you niggas look best away from the defender I'm throwing it to, so yeah. Get over it.
So if you juke your nigga, I don't care what the play is. I'm not going to – because that's what I like about him, though. He ain't finna just – feed one nigga. Like, you know, they coach that shit. Like, we only give it to this nigga. We can't throw it to this nigga because we trying to freeze him out. We don't want to give him a contract next year. Matt Moore going to throw it to whoever open. And if it's the bomb, that's the one he really want anyway. He want the bomb. So.
Every time.
So this Thursday's game, it's a little awkward. The game is the Texans and the Bengals. I know you saw that Texans game. Did you see that game? I only saw the highlights, but that shit looked bad as fuck. How the fuck the Jaguars beat them? Blake Bortles is barbecued chicken, my nigga, and he came out and snuffed these hoes.
Yeah, and you know what? I would love to give Blake Bortles credit, but that's actually a lie.
Can't give it to him.
But he definitely outperformed how I thought he would play. But I will also say it is totally easy to do that when the other team has a 10 sacks. Mm. That's a lot of field position that has changed, flipped on its head because it makes you, if you get 10 sacks, I knew it would have been at least 5 of them that had to be on third down.
Right.
Stops a lot of drives, makes drives a bit shorter, makes your field shorter when you're going on offense, shit like that. I want to shout out my young nigga Yannick Ngakoue. He got 2 sacks in that game. He played DN. He went to University of Maryland. He's worth now 91. When I was on the Dolphins, I used to come back and I used to train at Maryland in the off season, and I would do like D-line drills and like workouts and stuff. And Yannick used to always come to the workouts. He was one of the dudes. Like, there would always be three or four guys that came every time. He was one of them. And I could tell he was dope, and I could tell he had a big, big future ahead of him. And so I would, like, take my time and, like, teach him shit in the drills, like, teach him how to work drills and get better on the schoolwork. And he went out and played that year at Maryland and went apeshit. And then has continued to get 10 times better since that point, all because of his own work. And so I had to shout out to show this one.
Dope. So now we got the Texans. They're going to play the Bengals, who, man, did you see
the thing is.
Yo, what's up with Dalton? What's going on?
I mean, he's always been that kind of quarterback. He's good when the team, like when they have a good, and there's no problem with that. When you have a good game plan and the way you use your quarterback is good, and you set up the system to highlight what they do well and hide what they don't do well, he can win you a lot of games, and he has. However, when you need somebody to go out there and win the game for you, that's not his MO.
That's why they always lose,
It hasn't been.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, am I surprised? No. But that's what we want. Shit happens. You know what I'm saying? So, luckily, he's going to have a whole other game on Thursday, and he was drafted and shit, so they're not going to cut him. And he's going to have another opportunity to show.
The week after that.
Yeah. He going to get another shot. So we're going to see if he's too daisy or not. But I think in that game.
We got two teams that played shit last week playing against each other on Thursday night. And this is the issue with everyone in Thursday night football, is that it's always a trash-ass game because it's just not enough time to recover from the car crash you had on Sunday to play on Thursday. Now here we got two teams that play like shit on Sunday rolling around playing each other on Thursday. Can we anticipate a good game, or is this going to be the same old bullshit on Thursday night?
I think it's going to be a good game strictly because it's so cliche, but it's so true. The biggest growth you make as a team is from week one to week two every year. And that happens every single year. Because week one may have went way better than you expected, right? Mm-hmm. So then you get to see if, you know, you can live up to the hype, or if you're going to, you know, crumble under your own expectations. Or, you know, week one could not go as well as you wanted it to go.
And then
it's like, all right, let's buckle this shit in. We can't go 0-2.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't go any worse than scoring last week for the Bengals and the Texans only scoring once in the third quarter.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm assuming it's not going to be a 7-0 game. I'm thinking that
who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the Bengals just because I'm always rock with them. If I have to, if there's a coin flip, I'm going to rock with the black group. So, I'm on the Bengals.
The Texans benched Savage, right, and put the young boy in. I can't remember his name right now. And I kept saying, like I was talking to Jason Braddock.
Deshaun Watson.
Yes, Jason Braddock is a media member. He has a radio show down in Houston, and he covers the Texans. And I had him on a few weeks ago, and I was asking him what his opinion was of the two quarterbacks. And he was saying that Savage is clearly better. Like, it's not even a question. And I was saying to him, in my opinion, which I haven't seen Deshaun play in an NFL game. I had only seen him play in college. And I don't really count the preseason all that much because – it's cool, but if he's not a starter, he's not getting starter minutes, it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, when he start, you know what I mean? But I was saying to them, based on my experience as watching football, being an analyst and also a fan, I always thought Watson was better than Savage. And he was like, no way. I said, I promise you. He was like, this is Savage's team. Watson is going to sit back and learn. I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. And look what happened. The nigga got benched.
Who told you that?
This is Jason Braddock.
Who told you that?
Jason Braddock. He's a media. He covers the Texans. And he said the Savage was way better. This is Deshaun's team. At some point, this will be his team. But this year, he has to learn.
So quick question. Is Savage's contract public knowledge?
Yeah, it is.
Is Watson's contract public knowledge?
It is.
All right, so Watson probably, I don't know, but I'm going to assume he's, because he's a high pick, I'm going to assume he's going to be making a lot more this year, next year, year after that, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's the case, Savage had two quarters to prove that he was the starter.
And he didn't.
It didn't work.
This is the same shit. The Texans did this shit last year. They fucking juggled three niggas like for the last couple years, it seems like. And then it's like, then they win the division because they're in a weak division. And then they go to the playoffs and they look like shit.
And it's impressive how much Bill O'Brien can do with in a quarterback league.
Juggling.
To go to the playoffs and start multiple people at quarterback.
Right.
Dope. It's hard.
It's dope that he did it, though. And won the division.
It's so hard to do. Like, that is so very difficult to pull off.
Yeah, but he did it.
In the NFL. Where it's a passive league. Yeah.
I'm going with the Bengals next week, and I mean Thursday. And the reason, quite simply, is because Texas just doesn't seem like they have their shit together yet. It's just a lot not going right for them. The Bengals have, to me, a more solid foundation. You know, even though they got snuffed, I just feel like I'm going to give it to them just out of respect for the fact that, you know, the franchise seems to be a little more in order. The quarterback is solidified. Everybody knows who's who and what's going on. And it is a Thursday game. It's a turnaround. The Bengals don't normally perform like this. So I feel like this turnaround is that week one ass whooping is a wake-up call for them. And Texas just got to get together.
The only way I could see both of us being wrong on that pick is maybe Deshaun Watson comes out and there's
balls.
Not a lot of tape on him and just goes apeshit.
Yeah.
Like maybe he just goes apeshit. That would definitely make us both wrong.
That could
but
happen.
But short of that.
Yeah, it's the Bengals take this win, right?
Yeah.
So the Sunday night game, that's another game that I usually cover. And this past Sunday night game, I did not watch it. I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting in a hot tub with my friends enjoying my life. But I did catch the highlights, and I mean, I saw the Cowboys and the Giants, and it didn't look like their typical, you know, game that they play against each other. Like, it looked totally one-sided. Everybody saying it's because Odell didn't play, and I don't know if that's why it was one-sided.
That's the reason why.
That was the main reason?
When you play against a team that you're equal to, and your best player don't play, you're not going to win that more often than you do. You know what I'm saying? So, Odell, you can, whatever your opinion might be about Odell, anybody.
No, I think he's dope.
There's no doubt he's the best player on that team, at least.
No question.
So with that being said, him not being there changes everything.
I just personally feel like the Cowboys are a better
Russell
team.
Shepard, you got to show me.
I just feel like the Cowboys are a better team. That's the only reason that I felt like they were going to win regardless. And looking at the score, it seems like the game was so boring, like 19-3. Like, I don't know.
I honestly don't think that the Cowboys really are a better team.
Really?
I think that the Giants, because I think when healthy, the Giants have, I mean, a marginally worse offense. Like, yeah, the Cowboys offense is better, but it's not as much better than the Giants' defense is better than the Cowboys' defense.
Well, see, I compare the lines. I give the offensive line the advantage over the Giants' defensive line, and then I give the quarterback of the Cowboys.
I don't think so. I think the Giants have one of the best defensive lines. I think that is, like, it could go either way. I think that the Giants' D-line is the D-line version of the Cowboys' O-line in the fact that
They got a lot of OV
is getting after everything.
Yeah, but did you see the holes? Did you see the holes? I saw the holes. Like, my nigga, you could have been a fucking running back in that game.
Yeah, you're right. But that, you know, holes isn't D-line, always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's backers with the bad fit.
Okay.
Sometimes it's
respect.
Safety's not rotating down.
Respect.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if they played that game 10 times, if you told me the Cowboys or the Giants won six of them, the Cowboys O-line versus the Giants D-line won six of those, either way, I rock with it. Because to me, they're both very elite. But at the same time, it does hurt when your offense doesn't score for shit.
For shit.
And then now all you have to do, all you get the chance to do is stop the run. And then, okay, we're going to rush on third down, but it's your only shot to rush.
Yeah. So it wasn't a fair fight. This is arguably the most competitive, the most angry and aggressive, as far as fans are concerned as well, division. So this ain't over. This was the first game.
No.
These motherfuckers got to see each other again. And I'm expecting a better turnout. Hopefully Odell's healthy, because I feel like even though it's a loss, you got to just take the L, New York. But it wasn't a fair loss. So when Odell plays, then they get to do this again. And hopefully it's fair and it's more even. Hopefully Ezekiel Elliott is still playing. You see the baller ass move he played on the NFL. Psych, fuck your 6-game suspension. I'm playing. How did he even get that off?
That nigga said, he filed a restraining order against the whole league.
All y'all.
Nigga, how do you come?
All y'all back
how
up.
How do you come to work after that?
Back up. All y'all got to give me 50 feet, my nigga.
Back up, bruh. You can't be within 50 feet of a real nigga. Back up, bruh.
And he got to play. I kept telling people, I said, hello. Yo, to me, just like with Tom Brady, there was no evidence that Tom Brady deflated no balls. And even if he did, who cares? They smacked them niggas. First of all, ain't no deflated ball.
And not only did they smack their ass, but if you know that, if anybody who actually looked at the stat line of that Colts Patriots game, the Patriots ran for like 200 yards.
Yeah. That's working all the way around.
The deflated ball don't help you run at the ball at all.
Not whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. So Ezekiel Elliott has these charges against this girl that is saying that he physically assaulted her. And I get so mad at people that get mad at me if I defend players. And that's what I'm always do. I'm always defending players. But to me, after I looked at all the evidence and I found out that they have text messages and emails with her and her homegirls saying that they gonna set this nigga up. Like, what? That's enough.
Yeah.
She's sending pictures. Yeah, she fucking his teammates and all this stuff. Like to me, you gotta let the courts handle that. You can't just suspend a nigga because somebody said something. I could go out right now and say Brent smacked me. Go right to Mr. Glazer. Go to Mr. Light and say Brent smacked me in the face. Have a black eye. They gonna kick this nigga off the team until further review. Is that fair?
Yep.
That's not fair.
Yep. Yeah, and the worst part about it is that like. So people get mad when you, like, should a man, I will say this, should a man ever put his hands on a woman?
Sometimes.
Hell no.
Maybe.
Hell no. I've seen some women, let me tell you, I've seen some shit, AJ. Maybe I'm thinking from a different perspective. I ain't never seen a woman that I thought could fade me ever.
I've seen some women fading the fuck out of some men and they won't hit her back because they have this, I'm a gentleman, and she is beating the shit out of him. Multiple, it's all over social media. And I'm like, she need her ass beat. He should have hit her back.
And the point I was making is that, like, the same thing goes with, like, sexual assault. Like, people, like, it is a fact. And the reason I know it's a fact is because, true story, for someone that I will not name, I had to go to the police office station and give the details of that person's whereabouts for an evening because when I was in college, a female happened to lie on him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's personal experience that I've had to deal with in the past. And I know that some, not just women, men too, but some people just be lying.
Be lying. Niggas so, be lying. Niggas be, they be lying.
So, like, when you get all these texts and she's telling her homegirls, we gonna set this nigga up. We gonna do all this shit, and then we just like rocking with that? No. I need to see all of the information.
Right.
I'm not cool with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why to me, I feel bad. I feel bad for him. If like this could be a situation where maybe he was being ass, and if he was being ass, then he did everything he did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I can also see a situation where it's because of the evidence that I have seen. About the text messages and the pictures and all this, because, like, this she could be lying through her damn teeth. If that's the case, him getting a suspension would be some fuck shit because he ain't really do nothing.
Right. He didn't. And I feel like you have to just let the law play out. Like me, for example, if I worked at any job that I have and I committed some kind of crime, you know, my job isn't going to fire me if I'm, what if I go to court and I'm not guilty? Then what? I just got fired for nothing. You see the guy that played for the Saints, I believe, and they said that he robbed some liquor store or something and it was mistaken identity, but he already got fired from the team?
Lucky Whitehead.
Yeah.
He the Cowboys cut his ass because...
No, it wasn't Lucky. Was it Lucky? Yeah, it was Lucky. Yeah, it was Cowboys. Yeah, they cut him. And everybody's trying to say that was something else, of course, but it wasn't even him.
Yeah. No, being black in America, look at Michael Bennett. Wrong place, wrong time. That's either a jail sentence or a death sentence.
Right. Or fired, homeless, fucking jobless, just because somebody thought you looked like somebody else, and now you're in jail or you're jobless, yep. And your whole shit is fucked up now. You know, and nobody's gonna
like. You know what's funny to me is like. So I just brought up the Michael Bennett thing. With him, the thing that kills me is like it's so in 2017. It's so okay to be blatantly and overtly racist.
Yeah.
That
thank people, Donald Trump.
People have no problem saying that the reason Michael Bennett was a good thing that he got not a good thing, but the reason he got arrested is because they say he matched the description of the shooter when there was no shooting. So how could you match the description of the shooter? and B, they say he was fleeing away from what people thought was a shooting. I was like, yeah, nigga, so was everybody else. So
what is your point?
Every other person that happened to be there, but only the big black nigga with chains on was the one that got pushed down on the ground.
Mm-mm-mm. That's the world we live in right now. That's exactly where we are, and that's what we have to deal with. And everybody's acting like they don't understand. You know, and that's the part that sucks. It's like, it's almost like we're talking to ourselves. Like, people are just like, what do you mean? No one's profiling me. Like, you're not black. And if you don't understand what that means, then it's okay to not understand, but just shut the fuck up. When we're telling you what's happening to us, just listen.
I got pulled over like, probably like 6 months ago now. Like on the street outside of my neighborhood. And I gave the cop my ID. The nigga looked at my ID, looked back at me and said, "You live at Grand Island Way?" Like I couldn't possibly ever live.
Your black ass live in that nice neighborhood.
I was like, damn.
They got no clue what we go through. Like, no clue.
He came back to the car and true story. He came back to the car. I was like, man, next time, don't sound so surprised. He was like, excuse me? Like, he, like, got his all checked.
Like, yeah.
Melt his ear down, like, what'd you say? I said, next time, don't sound so surprised that I live here.
Right. I didn't study.
You heard the fuck I said the first time. I would say it again.
Right. So let's get back on focus. We got to talk about this Sunday night game, because this is like a rematch for the Packers and the Falcons. This is the NFC Championship rematch this Sunday night.
Yep.
Packers in Atlanta. They're going to show the new dome, the new Mercedes-Benz Superdome. First time in the stadium. I've seen it from the outside. The shit looks fucking incredible. Shout out to the taxpayers that paid for it. And the Packers are playing the Falcons. We know when they played each other last time, the Packers were actually wounded, quite wounded on defense, wounded in some other places, but who cares? You got to play with what you got. Falcons beat them, went to the Super Bowl. Is there any revenge in
place?
And
blew the bag.
Blew the bag. Is there any revenge in play for the Packers losing to the Falcons last year in the NFC Championship?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people that want to win the game. more for that reason. But I think when you're led by the GOAT in Aaron Rodgers, you come to every game thinking, yeah, we probably won. So, like, I don't know if there's really, well, I don't know if he's the beast. You know what I'm saying? We're probably going to win. We got Rodgers. So, I don't know if there's, like, extra motivation for, you know, them to get up because they got him last year. Like, I could see there might be if they would have won the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they had finished what they started. But the fact that they lost the Super Bowl is kind of like, damn, like, y'all trash. We should have never lost to y'all in the first place. So, that's what I was in Seattle, my third year in the league. We went to playoffs, we lost to Cam Newton, and then when Cam won MVP, they went to Super Bowl. And when they lost to the Broncos, I was like, man, we should have beat these niggas ass. You know, they're going to end up going to Super Bowl and losing. The fuck? Like, at least I can say I lost to the nigga that won. You know, I hope I lost.
You want to be proud to lose to the winner, not the loser.
At least if they win. At least if they win, you can be like, man, that should have been us, man. We was better than them. All that shit. But, yeah, so, like, I don't know if there's extra motivation, but I will say, if you got Rodgers on your team, you like your shot every week. So, it's a lot of over there that is pretty much shorter than win anyway because they got 12.
I like this game because, you know, obviously, like, it's weird. My husband's a Buck, obviously, but I'm a fan of football. And so I really like Aaron Rodgers. He's fucking amazing. And since I've actually gotten to watch Matt Ryan's entire career, like right in front of me, like I've watched him since his rookie year, I have a great respect for him and the way his game is developed. Is he Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he ever going to be? Probably not. But I have a lot of respect for him and how.
Ain't no probably in that shit. We don't.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, it's no shade. It's no shade behind that. There's no, you know, I fuck with Sarah, you know, his wife. She probably listened to podcasts. I don't want her to think there's no shade because I really do respect Matt Ryan so much. But this
As
game.
You should. Had a hell of a year. Great player. One
hell of
the best,
a year. They go down.
One of the
they're going down Sunday. They're going down Sunday.
I hope that they lose strictly because they have a Chick-fil-A that's not open on Sundays in their stadium.
Yeah,
that's
fuck
so
y'all.
Stupid.
Fuck all y'all for having that Chick-fil-A in the stadium and it's closed on Sundays. Like, who the fuck idea was this? How is only open for the Thursday night game and the Monday night game? Like, what?
And in concert.
In concert. You cannot get a spicy chicken sandwich on Sundays at the fucking Mercedes-Benz, a.k.a. Georgia Dome. I don't know. I kind of want to keep calling it the Georgia Dome, probably. And that's stupid as shit as hell. And that's, you know what? That's why they're going to lose, because that Chick-fil-A is not going to be open on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm rocking with the – I hate to do this, because every time we both pick the same,
oh God,
we either both right or we both wrong. But
we both picked the Packers to win this game.
We're wrong.
Like, bad wrong. Like, the Falcons might, like, blow their asses out.
Correct. So, I'm rocking with Rodgers, too, because I'll just never pick against him in a game ever. But, yeah.
You see, I picked against him last year. I did. I don't know if you remember that.
I know.
Said the Falcons were going to beat him.
I do, and I was fucking
mad. You was pissed?
I was mad. You besmirched the name of Rodgers.
I didn't mean to. It was just really based on game planning and just the injuries they had. They had, like, four niggas from the practice squad and two safeties playing corner. Like, it was just all bad.
Yeah.
It was all bad.
You're not wrong.
It was.
But I just expected Rodgers still to win.
Yeah, I feel you, but I didn't. I knew that this was the Falcons' year. I knew it was the Falcons' year, but this Sunday coming up, I'm picking the Packers to beat the Falcons. Hopefully they roll into the division with this L. You know, we need these NFC L's because we're trying to win the division over here in Tampa. So, and this ain't about, you know, the division. It's really just about me picking the Packers week two against the Falcons. I just feel like, you know, it's early, but I'm going to go with the best quarterback on the team. And I keep hearing stuff about the Falcons defense. I didn't get to watch the game that much, but I'm definitely going to try to catch this game so I can see this defense that everybody's telling me is way better and got some improvements because I had no respect for them last year whatsoever. The offense completely carried them through the league, and they did do had some big moments in the playoffs, but that was mainly because when your team is winning, you actually get to play a different style of defense. You get to be a little more aggressive. You get to take more chances.
People, people don't understand, when you're up in a football game and you're on defense, you can do
your ears back, my
now
nigga.
Now I know you got to pass.
Yeah, you got to pass. And this is what we finna do every time
you
try to pass.
You got to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And so you're not about to just run the ball 35 times and we up 14.
Yeah.
And expect the clock's still going to be there for you at the end of the game. Hell no. So I'm about to go out and do shit. And when a defensive lineman can pin his ears back and a DB can say, oh, these niggas about to be throwing, airing it out.
Because the quarterback can be scared of shit. And that ball coming out of there all lopsided, you got to go get it. So,
and that shit floating like it's over throwing off his back foot and shit. Yeah, all that shit. All that shit trimmed up for tell you not to do. Yeah, they be doing all that shit on the front.
Oh my God! So we got our picks off. I can't really get into all these other games, but for the people that listen, yo, the Thursday night game and the Sunday night game. If there's some other spectacular games throughout the week, I'll cover those too. But week one, I'm not finna get into all these goddamn games. We going those two games. We got our predictions. We got our issues off, and now we have to talk about OTA, my nigga. First of all, let me just tell you something. I'm very proud of you. And I told you from the beginning, if your shit was trash, I was going to tell you, my nigga. Because that's just the type of friend that I am. Okay? And I told you I was scared to listen to the album. I was nervous. The shit is great. You have a lot of growing to do in the field. But nigga, for a first album, you have exceeded any expectations I have for you. And I don't know. I don't even know if I should be telling you that. It might pump you up a little bit and make you not work even harder. But I really like the album. I really, really like it. I party to this shit. I be turning up. I'm learning lyrics. Once I get all my lyrics down, you already know the bars are going to start flying all over the snap, my nigga. I just got to get my bars together. But the album is fucking dope. Please tell my listeners about your album. Everything you want to get off. And then I got something to say after that, too. But go ahead.
Appreciate you. Yeah. You know, what's funny is like, you my nigga, and I know that you would tell me if the shit was trash because that's the nigga you is. And I appreciate that because I would want to know if my shit was trash. But the thing is, literally no one has said it's trash because everybody fucks with it. And it's to the point where, like, even though the whole football thing has not worked out how it should have worked out, like, I have an actual possible future in making music because this album has gotten such a positive reception. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's crazy to me because, you know, I started playing football after I started making music. So it's like, music's always been what I really love. And I just always put it to the side because, you know, shit, NFL check is NFL check. I'm going to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get that money first chance I get. But the thing that was really dope about making this album is it's called OTA. And the OTA stands for Ode to Athletes. And there's a bunch of songs on there that are like, athlete themed, like Olympic Gold was my single right now. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Olympic Gold, you
that
know, it plays up.
You know, I love that shit. I'll be doing was stupid shit. Fucking nigga, that song right there, you killed that one, dog. You killed that one. You killed, Olympic Gold, dog.
And then, so like, I got that, and I got a whole bunch of other stuff. But what's crazy is that, like, you know, you watch the, you go to Apple Music, and, Apple tells you, like, it stars the songs on the album that are, like, the fire songs that, like, everybody replays and puts on, you know, playlists and shit like that. Well, if you go to my Apple Music right now, look at my album, nigga, the first six tracks is all starred. Nigga, all six of them shits is starred. So, like, there's not a lot of rappers putting albums out like that right now.
Right.
I'm just flexing my whole muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like I was saying, OTA, it was Ode to Athletes. I really wanted to just, you know, show athletes, man, don't be afraid to be who you are. You know, don't let your sport define you. Be who you are. You know what I'm saying? And that's not just athletes. It's for non-athletes, too. Like, if you got a dream or something you always want to do, I always want to make an album. Even if nobody liked my album and it's still songs and there was no future in it for me, I would have still been able to say, damn, I really was able to follow through with a dream that I had. And I appreciate the work that I put in, even if nobody else does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And more people need to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
To be able to chase after their dreams. And I just happen to be somebody that I will never let, you know what I'm saying, what my job is or was at the time stop me from doing what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. Like me being a football player don't mean that I can't make music.
At
it
all.
Might mean that motherfuckers might not take my music seriously and still
right.
hear it. You know what I'm saying? But that don't mean that I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then my big thing is, if you can tell me you don't like my music, but if you listen to my music, you can't tell me it's not
whack.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might not like how I make music, but you don't want to say that's trash because I make good music. Because I listen to Future and Young Thug, and I also listen to Kendrick and J. Cole. You know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to everybody. I listen to 21 Savage and Dave East. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like I have a pulse on what's dope music and what it's not. Like I told your homie on your podcast, that
he never came back. Bree never came back to
on America. I said that those exact words.
You did.
Mask Off was a hit.
You did.
And guess what? It was a fucking hit because
you
I
did.
Know music. I'm telling y'all, OTA is one of the best rap albums that has been dropped in hip hop this year for sure. Been in a long time, and I really anybody that go listen to it, you can go Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, Apple Music. You go to any of my links. You can find it at AJFrancis410 on Twitter, mm-hmm. on Instagram. It's on YouTube the same way at AJFrancis410. You find me, you find my page, you find all my music. It's on everything, all platforms. You can check it out, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. If Meek only fuck with certain hip hop.
I do not.
A lot of people don't know this.
You know that I don't really fuck with hip hop a lot of ways. Like, it's a lot of shit that I just refuse to even entertain. Just because, you know,
like,
I'm a different kind of girl.
Yeah, Meek don't rock with Adele now. That's what she gonna rock with.
I'm an R&B girl. Like, I'm an R&B thug, man. To my core. As hard as I am, I love a slow, soft song about just singing. I don't know. I just love that music. But if I'm going to listen to hip-hop, I got to feel it. I got to be enjoying it. I got to be involved in the lyrics, like everything.
Yeah. And you can go on, I'm verified on Rap Genius now. So you can go on Rap Genius, my full out, yeah, you know, swag. My full album is on Rap Genius. You can get all the lyrics on there. You know,
yeah.
it's dope because it's really dope because, like, you can put my music in the same playlist that you put Kendrick and Cole, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and the only reason you're not getting that respect is because your name isn't out there. You didn't take the route of everybody else, which is, you know, all music is all I'm doing. You're a football player trying to do this. And I feel like, you know, there's a huge, bigger disadvantage to that. You know, people think like, oh, because if you're a football player, then people just buy your album. No, they won't. You know what I'm saying? They don't even respect you because they feel like this isn't really... they want to hear it. So what I wanted to do, and I don't know if this is okay with you, I wanted to do something because I feel like people love Brent Grimes. They love his jersey. So I wanted to do something where if people bought your album, I'm going to post something on my page. I don't know how I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do it, but I want to give away a Grimes autographed jersey. We'll do raffle style to anyone that buys your album and either tags. I don't know how you can keep up with who bought it for real, if it's just a screenshot that people are sharing. Like, would I know if they actually bought it? Because I want to do a raffle for a jersey of their choice, a Falcon Grimes jersey, a Dolphin.
They can take screenshots of the receipt,
okay.
I suppose.
But can they, like, share a receipt?
I mean, they can share a picture of it, but if they take a screenshot of it, it's going to have different times, it's going to have, different service providers, all that type of shit. So, like, you could do it that way, or also you could if they don't, you know what I'm saying, they could just like follow my artist page on Spotify.
If you get a certain amount of follows, then I'll raffle off I low-key want to do one jersey of every team.
That would be dope.
Like, that's one fun. Bucks, one Dolphins, and one Falcons jersey. But we got to figure it out. We're going to figure it out on social media.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to figure it out. We're going to post it. And that's what we're going to do. Once we get a certain amount of followers on, is it Spotify? That's the one you want?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to do that. Yeah. Sure. Spotify and Instagram. Them the two.
So we're going to figure how we're going to do this, and we're going to somehow snatch these followers and these clickers and the people that's going to listen to the album. Because all I feel like you need is a shot. It's for niggas to just listen. You know? And yeah. If they listen,
That's what's crazy to me is that, like, niggas that literally sit down and listen to the album. Like, I know I have friends of mine who think that they're music experts, right? So, like, these same niggas, I've seen them listen to a fucking Jay-Z or Kanye album and be like, that's whack. That's trash. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, But these are the same niggas hear my album and like, yo, that shit actually dope as fuck. And I'm like, damn, my nigga. Like, yeah. I was definitely expecting you to hate on this shit, but appreciate you nonetheless.
Cool. So we're going to do that. We're going to get it squared away within the next 48 hours. We're going to post it. We're going to get it out there because I do truly feel like all you need to do is be heard sometimes. And I'll try to use my star power, my husband's Jersey star power, because that's what other motherfuckers is doing. They're using their resources and people they know to help them get out there. So why the fuck not? We all family. We got to help each other eat and support each other. So that's what Team Grammy want to do for you. We're going to definitely link up.
My nigga.
And get this shit sold and get your voice out there. And you definitely need to get on a roster.
And that's perfect timing, too, because I already just shot two videos, too. So them shit gonna be coming soon.
Well, then we lit. We fucking lit. We gonna get this shit
niggas
done.
Niggas is not ready for what's coming for real.
I can't wait for people to see how not, fucking like, if crazy you are.
Oh, man. What's crazy is, like, if, you know what I'm saying? Like, if a team called me and they say, yeah, we were starting to get active roster. I'm going to take the check. I'm not about to just turn down the check. But, like, realistically, I'm not tripping because this music shit is about to blow. And I don't feel cocky or arrogant saying that. I feel like I just can't read the situation. You know?
Facts.
I've done it my whole life.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, cool. So we're going to link up. I'm going to let you go, my nigga, because this is late as fuck out in the East Coast. It's only 10:30 here. I'm getting ready to probably go have some drinks with my friends. But, yo, I appreciate you for coming on the podcast. You always going to be my nigga. And we're going to definitely link up again sometime this season. I still want you on the roster because you still a bully and you still need to throw niggas around on Sundays. That's really, you know, that's really what you need to be. You need to throw somebody around. So when you see me and my husband and my son, you don't start throwing us around because you know you childish as fuck.
Yeah, I am. There's one thing I am is that.
Childish, but I appreciate you, my nigga. I love you. Stay safe. I hope you get power back very soon and everything smooth. Tell my nigga Tots I said what up, even though she was hating on me at the game because y'all beat us. I never seen Tots like that before, dog. She was talking so much shit to me at the game. Cash shit.
Yeah, you
with a little Redskins hat really, on.
She really turned the corner like within the last year.
She turned.
So like I finally got to realize when you talking shit. But Jonah, you don't really mean what you're saying. You don't get mad.
Yeah, you're just talking shit. It's just fun. It's just fun to do.
And if once you figure that shit out, she actually got pretty good this year. She almost pissed me off earlier today. We played Rummy. And I was mad as shit, but I ended up winning, so I didn't say nothing. But I was
mad. Yes, Tots, I'm glad she got your ass mad. But anyway, but nigga, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to holler at you later, though. I appreciate you.
No problem. Love you.
Love you too. Peace.
Peace.
Shout out AJ for joining me. You guys are going to hear a lot of AJ. He's been on multiple times. He's like a big little brother to me. AJ's a defensive lineman for the Redskins. He got released recently. So it's downtime for him. And it's a dope time because he has an album that just came out. It's called OTA. If you go on iTunes, you can pick that up. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And even like, I feel like, sometimes people don't give people a shot just because, you know, they don't know them or that somebody else has to refer them. Well, if you know me and you fuck with me and you know I'm not going to lie to you, I would flat out tell AJ his shit was trash. Trust me. It's nowhere near trash. The shit is actually quite dope. I'm so surprised. AJ is obsessed with music just like I am, but he's, you know, a little more obsessed with rap. And it shows, like, he's really studied the business. He put an entire album together, my nigga, like, a whole motherfucking album. This nigga has fucking, what is this, 19 songs on here, my nigga? 19 songs. The first six have a star by them. The first six. So if you do me a solid, go download my nigga album. It's called OTA. His name on there is Frank. You'll see him on the football, in the football background. Big, big marble head, black guy named AJ Francis. Support my nigga. We all got to support each other. It's like I always ask you guys to send people to my podcast link and tell them to support me because you do. So now I'm asking you to do me a solid as well and support my nigga. And before I get out of here, I didn't want to talk about this with AJ because obviously AJ, he loves Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady, the football player. I do not love Tom Brady, the person. And, you know, there's multiple reasons. One is that he supports Donald Trump. Number two, he financially supports Donald Trump. And three, he says things like this. So he had an interview on Sunday and the media asked him, you know, what was his opinions on Colin Kaepernick and his old stance and him not playing and what did he think about it? And Tom said he hadn't really thought about it. He has never had a conversation with Colin Kaepernick. He doesn't even know what his thing is or what he has going on. All he's focused on is football. You know, this is football season and this is my main focus. And it's just strange to me because that's a lie. That's a blatant, flat-out lie. Everybody knows what's going on with Kaepernick. I don't give a fuck if you live under a rock. You probably know. He's in the NFL. Of course he knows what's going on. He's supporting Donald Trump. Donald Trump talks about Colin Kaepernick. It's a fucking lie, Tom. Just say no comment. Just say no opinion. Because when they asked Colin Kaepernick what he felt about Tom Brady being suspended for Deflategate, Colin Kaepernick's I don't know the exact words, but what he said was something to the effect of, it's crazy that people think that a ball being deflated could get in the way of a 38-point ass whooping. Like he supported you, Tom. That's what the league is about. It's supposed to be about family. People try to say your team is your family. No, the players are a family. The owners are a family, okay? So when you're a player, if you don't have anything nice or positive to say about Colin Kaepernick's movement, just say no comment, no response. Tom Brady, you're a piece of shit for trying to act like you don't know what the fuck is going on. Then they asked him if he was relieved or happy that none of his teammates are kneeling. And he said, oh, I wouldn't even know if they did. I don't even pay attention to that type of stuff. Shut the fuck up. Yes, you do. Because Mr. Kraft would pay attention. Mr. Belichick would pay attention. Your ass would know. Everybody knows that there will be no kneelers in New England. There will be none. The minute a motherfucker kneels in New England, his ass is probably fired as shit. Unless his name is Tom Brady. So I would appreciate it if the rest of the world, including the Tom Brady's of the world, would just shut the fuck up if you don't have anything positive to say. That is the problem. Stop trying to act like this movement isn't a part of you just because you're not black. It is a part of all of us. If you love and care about your teammates like you say you do, then you should love and care about their families who are black people. This league is comprised of majority black athletes. These are the people that this is affecting. So if you care about your family, you may not understand or be able to relate to the things that black people are going through, but you absolutely know that there's a fucking problem because there's way too many of us saying it. And if you don't have the balls to do what Cardi B did, to do what a lot of motherfuckers that are doing that aren't even involved, I'm sure Cardi B don't watch no motherfucking football, but she know what the fuck is going on. And she sat up there and got her award and she spoke about Kaepernick. If you don't have nothing positive to say, shut the fuck up. Take the no comment route. That's the best thing you can do because all this other dumb shit that everybody's saying, act like they don't know what's going on. Oh, I have no clue. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Shut the fuck up. Yes, you do. We need everybody to know what the fuck is going on. We need everybody to be involved in some kind of way. And if you choose not to be involved, then we know what it is with you. We know you don't support the movie. We know you don't give a fuck about us. But stop saying all this dumb shit because it gets on my fucking nerves and it's causing me to hate some of the legends in sports. That's why Ray Lewis, you're a piece of shit, my nigga. You are a piece of fucking shit. You beat a murder case and look at you over here, samboing and dancing like a motherfucker, talking about Netta is the reason that the Ravens didn't sign Kaepernick. Shut the fuck up. No, it's not the reason. That was a relief. That was a whoo. Thank God his girl did that. So now we have a reason why we can't sign him. It's bullshit. It has nothing to do with that. You can't blame a family member for something that an athlete never did. And now we got these people saying, Cap won't talk, Cap won't talk. I wouldn't talk either, motherfucker. All you're going to do is try to twist his words and find a way to use them against him. You know when Colin Kaepernick should talk? When he's at the podium thanking whatever organization gave him a shot to play football again. I don't understand why people think you have to be some starter. You have to even be a star, period. You should be able to be on the practice squad and still kneel for injustices. You should be able to be on the bench, a backup to a backup of a fucking backup, and still be able to say, these are problems in my community, in the people that look like me. Everybody should be able to say that. It should not matter whether you're a star or not. And now this whole distraction situation. How the fuck is a distraction going to stop another man from playing the game that takes care of his family? Let me tell you one motherfucking thing. If Brent Grimes ever came home and said, I played bad because of another nigga beat his girl last week. And so that was a distraction in the locker room. So I fucked up. I might have fucked the checkup. No, nigga. No. Focus. What do y'all think? The athletes aren't able to focus. You motherfuckers that work at McDonald's, that work at CVS, that work at Subway, that work at General Motors, that work everywhere, have the same friends beat they fucking wives too. Y'all friends get DUIs. Y'all friends have all kind of other shit going on at your job or at home, and you're still clocking in Monday through Friday and getting your fucking check. So why the fuck do you think an athlete can't stay focused because another nigga got an issue in his family? Okay? I have nothing to do with sports. We have the field, the court, the arena, wherever we play. That is where we go to get rid of the distractions. That is what we use to get rid of all the other bullshit that's going on in our life. The football field, the basketball court, the tennis court, the track, those are our sacred places. We're the happiest when we're there. We don't think about you motherfuckers when we're there. Okay, so stop listening to these cornball ass niggas that never got pussy in high school, that never got their dick sucked ever by a real bitch. They have to buy pussy, they have to buy dick sucking, and they writing all this stupid shit saying a distraction is causing somebody to not be able to fucking make $1 million. Are you fucking kidding me? Could a distraction stop you? You listening to my podcast right the fuck now. If you had a check for $8 million to play a sport or do whatever the fuck it was, if another nigga had some other shit going on, could it distract you from getting your fucking check? Absolutely not. So stop acting like these athletes are fucking idiots or something and saying that they can't focus because another nigga is kneeling. It's stupid as fuck, my nigga. The problem is this country. It's this country. Nobody want to admit it. This country is fucked up. And the next time one of you motherfuckers tell me if I don't like it to leave, guess what I'm gonna tell you? Suck my dick. Peace. Forward, never back. Yeah, from where it started to where it's at, to where it's going. Forward, never back. Yeah, from where it started to where it's at, going forward, never back. Yeah, puff cigars on the balcony. The background music soothing. Two masseuses maneuver. Maroon BM, BM Museum. Suede Timbs with a pretty chick. So culture, Michael Bowden.